Log Talk Radio.
Both need theme songs, and I've picked out one for you.
Wait a minute, that is my theme song. What you going to pick out one for me for?
I'm picking out a new one.
Oh, God. This is going to be some tomfoolery. What's my new theme song? Come on.
That's Just My Baby Daddy.
Yeah, I'm not messing with you tonight. Good evening, America. Good evening, listeners, followers, friends, family.
How about Boogie in the Butt?
This is Yale Beverly and his co-host, Kamal, Please Take Me to Jail. I need to clear up something right away at the beginning of tonight's show. Despite how her name looks in print, Kamal is not a terrorist from the Middle East, even though I believe she's on no-fly list for some airline.
I'm not on a no-fly list, but I do manage to get frisked every single time I dial. And the government has frequently sent me job notices asking me if I want to translate Farsi.
Well, if you're wearing that tank top every time you get on a plane, maybe the TSA agents would stop trying to frisk you. I think you look very good. Let me put my hands down your shirt.
No, these are the same TSA agents who make me strip so they can pat down my bra. Those agents, because they don't understand that women of my stature need a little extra help in the chest area with wires and stuff.
I would with TSA ASAP.
Yeah, you laugh. Wait till you get frisked.
I've been trying to get frisked. I want someone to reach in my underwear and see what that is that I'm carrying.
Well, none. I heard that it was one of them little tiny miniature dill pickles. You know, the little tiny ones? That's what I heard, but, you know.
Yeah, it's my picture of Anthony Weiner.
I'm not touching that. I'm not going to mess with you today.
And the Freudian starts to slip. Oh, we've got so much to cover tonight, and hopefully we can get through a lot of it without the usual crazy tomfoolery that we tend to get caught up in, thanks to you.
I beg your pardon?
Ain't too proud to beg, sweet darling. Ain't too proud to beg. Ain't too proud to beg.
Is that my new theme song?
That should be your theme song. That should be a theme song. Let me get things started. I'm going to get you a theme song. I'm going to find a theme song for you.
Well, my daughter said it should be Ain't That a Bitch, but, you know, there you go.
Oh, wow. Wow. This the baby girl?
Yeah, this is the baby girl. Now, she didn't understand. She thought it meant I don't take no mess. So we just let it go.
Maybe this should be your theme song. No, that's my out song. Maybe this should be your theme song. Wait a minute now. No, no.
Will it go round and circle?
Hey.
Will it fly high like a bird up in the sky?
So wait, are you calling me rotund?
I'm sorry?
Are you calling me rotund?
No, 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 no. I'm just calling you confused. Where do we begin? What a week.
I quit.
These slaves don't quit. They get traded.
This is the longest I've gone without quitting. We went a whole 6 minutes without me quitting, so.
You know, I know you sleep in a bucket.
And I know magic, too. I hate you.
For our friends and family listening in for the first time, understand how crazy Kamal makes me act and behave, misbehave myself. Let me explain the show for the first time, listeners. This is political commentary, left-leaning political commentary, unapologetic left-leaning political commentary. And we do it with a little tongue-in-cheek and sometimes just straight hilarity, tomfoolery. I am often the butt of Kamal's jokes. And she is often the evil woman swinging a sock full of hot nickels. But we take politics seriously. We take social commentary, social events seriously, but we do it with some flavor and some fun and some comedy to a point. But
but you know what? I think the comedy is kind of just between me and you because nobody would get that whole bucket joke. I want to know how they catch him because that's a massive individual. Okay, I'm sorry. I can reel it back in.
So you have to be kind of swift to keep up with us sometimes because we are straight crazy. But if you watch Key and Peele, I'm
Sebastian.
Sure you So today's initial subject we're going to start talking about, I think, is the most heinous situation going on in politics today, which is the straight-up, outright disrespect being played to the President of the United States of America by the political...
And his woman. Don't forget Shell.
And Michelle. And I have to commend Sam Donaldson for calling it what it is, which mainstream media has been hesitant to say, that it's nothing but straight racism, that the people on the right, the Republican Party, the Tea Party, they refuse to show this man any respect whatsoever just because he's a black man. They still cannot fathom a black man being president of the United States. Now, I welcome all callers and listeners online to chime in if they want to comment, and we can go into this, but it is what it is. This fool who shouted out in the Rose Garden the other day, being totally disrespectful, had the nerve to try to say he did nothing more than Sam Donaldson would do back in the day with Ronald Reagan, which is a bunch of hooey. Yes, that's right. I went hooey. I used hooey. Damn it. I used hooey. And,
Well, Dee Willikers and Jumpin' Jehoshaphat, she most certainly did.
Family show. Family show. Family show. but it is. I mean, Sam Donaldson was direct, and he was on point, and he asked President Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter some direct questions and wanted direct answers. But never did he do it in a disrespectful way. And I think if you go back to Joe Wilson calling the president a liar.
shoot, go even further back than that, before the president was the president, and John McCain said, that one.
Yes. Yes. Then he was a candidate. He was not the president of the United States of America. Not forgiving it, but, you know, it's just like the line from Band of Brothers miniseries, which was an excellent miniseries, I might add, on HBO. But just like the line, you respect the office, if not the man.
That's right.
But when you start using the tactics that they're using, because they only want him out because he's black, he has them so confused that they are voting against policies that they created or they came up with because they don't want him to succeed. And they're painting him out to be anything but successful, because acknowledging any of his successes will give an edge to him for an opportunity for reelection. And it's shameful. It's shameful. We want to believe 2012 is a new time in this country, but it really isn't.
It is shameful. It's almost as shameful as stork ankles.
I'm going to hit you over the radio. Hit you over the radio. So make me mute your mic.
Okay.
I like muting your mic.
Okay.
So how does this play on the West Coast, on the left side?
Well, I mean, the same way it's playing like we're speaking. I mean, the left over here is just as pissed and undone as the left over there. I mean, we see it. You know, and it's not just my black friends. You know, my white friends are up in arms about it too. I mean, it's so blatant. Even my white friends see it. You know, they're like, "Hey, man, it's because he's black." I'm like, yes, yes. Well, actually, say, you know, I think this has something to do with his skin color. You think? Yes, it does. Yes, it absolutely does. Don't be mistaken. And, I mean, you know, they see it for what it is, you know, just these blatant attempts because they can't get them on anything. You know, that's when they start making up lies and what's the word I'm looking for? You know, English is a second language for me. Obfuscating.
How is your Spanish, Indian, Hindi language classes going?
They're on hiatus right now because I haven't been any place where I would confuse the people. And that was between me and you. You weren't supposed to publicly acknowledge what I did.
I haven't really spoken about it. I won't really bring it up. I mean, I think you'll hang yourself eventually.
it was one of my finer moments.
So, but yeah, it's so obvious, you know. We are living in a time of extreme lines on both sides of the political spectrum. But I believe all of it has been, it all came to a head, I should say, after November 2008, when.
Well, oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we have instances of people. What is that judge's name? I forget the judge. Remember, he sent out an email insinuating that the president's mother was actually slept with dogs?
Yes, yes.
And by sleep with, I mean had sex with, you know. And you and I were talking. It doesn't, you know, thank God they haven't gone after the kids, because I will hunt down anybody who goes after the kids, because that's just not right. But, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. In our memory of First Ladies, you know, we remember that, you know, people joked about Barbara Bush looking old and, you know, calling her Bush's grandmother instead of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember they would attack Hillary and her cankles. So ridiculous. But they never, ever insinuated that those women were hoes, and that's what they've been doing. I mean, as recently as this weekend, you know, they had that crazy outhouse outside of, what was this, the Republican Christian faith movement or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've got this outhouse and says it's his library. And on the door, what did it say? for A Good Time Call Michelle.
Right, and they had that scratched out for A Good Time Call Hillary. And then they had Nancy Pelosi as well.
And understand, I would be upset, you know, as a woman, if they did that to Ann Romney. I mean, this is just, this sexism has got to stop. But I'm more upset with it happening to the First Lady, because they're not showing that office, and she's part of the office of the presidency, any respect. And, you know, if you think about past First Ladies, what has she really done? I mean, to bring about all this. It's not like she, remember how Hillary stuck her foot in it?
Right.
With the health care issue. You know, she was so active in the White House policy that she invited criticism. You know, I'm not saying it was welcomed criticism or deserved criticism, but she invited it anyway. All Michelle is doing is trying to get kids out there to be more active and stop eating French fries every day.
To get off their fat asses and run around and ride a bike like we had to if we wanted to go anywhere. If I wanted to go anywhere as a kid that was outside of my house, within inside of 5 miles from my house, I got on a bike, especially during the day. I went and played football with my friends, even if that was all in the middle of the street.
Remember that story, you know, I had to walk uphill both ways? I literally had to walk uphill both ways, and I had to walk a mile to the nearest bus. And
right.
I didn't grow up in rural Mississippi. I grew up in San Diego, California. I was a mile from the bus. If I wanted to go to the public library, the closest public library to my house was 6 miles away. I had to get on my bike.
Yeah.
Or wait for the bookmobile to come to my school, which I walked to, which was a mile and a half both ways, uphill both ways.
With the snow coming down in your eyes in San
Right,
Diego.
Right, carrying 50 pounds of oranges.
Right, in a block of ice.
Right, you know, and then I had to skate uphill with a rope. And I'm only partially kidding because it doesn't snow in San Diego, but, I mean, to do something, we had to get off our behinds and go outside and do it. We had to ride our bikes. We had to ride our skateboards. We had to actually play.
Mm-hmm. Heck, I remember even when back then, of course, they were nowhere near sophisticated as they are now. I acknowledge that. But if I wanted to play video games with my friends, I had to ride, walk, or run to their house to play video games. And even then, we did that when it was raining outside. You know, I grew up doing a lot of fishing. I was a fisherman. I loved to fish from the time I was like 13, 14 years old. And, yeah, fishing is a very sedentary sport, unless you're fly fishing. It's a very sedentary sport. But you know how we got to our fishing places? We rode our bikes. We walked. We didn't drive. We didn't, you know, we had to go outside. And Michelle Obama is just trying to say that to kids today. Do that, eat healthier. You know, and I know we did the whole controversy about the mega cups of soda in New York and the controversy now, but even then, it wouldn't have been such a big deal to drink a 16-ounce cup of soda because you burned the energy off riding your bike to the movies to watch the movie and then riding your bike home after the movie or walking home after the movie. So you burned that off quickly.
Well, you know, I say this as a parent who drives her girls everywhere, but I drive them to their activities.
but we are talking about 2012 as opposed to 1975 for me. You know, now someone to snatch a child up, you know, and it's a more dangerous time period. But if kids were outside playing together, I think it would be a lot easier on parents' state of mind to have, 18 to 20 kids outside playing football or baseball or softball, as opposed to one child walking by himself through a bad neighborhood to get to the library.
Which, yeah, and see, that I grew up in a bad neighborhood, so that's what I was doing. But my motivation is twofold. One, I don't want my kids snatched. Two, I live very close to a college, and these kids can't drive, so I don't want my babies run down either. But, I mean, you know, despite me driving them everywhere, I am driving them to their activities, their soccer, their swim team, their music lessons. You know, I keep them as active as I possibly can. But 30 years ago, you know, I was hoofing it. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm only 25.
Right. And again, you are 25 if you are dividing by two. But
you
but you're right.
Confused.
You're right. But it's the fact that we have this black woman telling our white children that they should study hard and they should eat well and they should get outside and exercise and they should be healthy. How dare
them?
And
not only is she telling them, she's showing them. My girl was double dutching on Regis and Kelly. Double dutching and doing it well. I mean, when have we ever seen a first lady who can do the Dougie? I mean, obviously the Dougie wasn't out, but you get my point. You know, she's out there. She's with the community. She's practicing what she preaches. She's growing gardens.
She's more actively involved in the youth of America than any first lady I remember, but from history and recent memory since Jackie Onassis Kennedy, and they hate it. They hate it. They hate
it. I don't even know if Jackie Onassis was active with kids. Was she?
More so than Barbara Bush.
Well, yeah.
See, I'm trying to behave myself, but you make me be a bad guy. Make me.
And I know Eleanor Roosevelt wasn't necessarily active with kids, but she was really active in trying to make the world a better place for the underprivileged. Let's say that.
Or black, colored, Negro, whatever you want to call those, call us back in the 40s and 30s.
I think we were still colored then.
I thought we were Negroes. We gotta find someone old that'll call in and be able to tell us. Maybe my father will dial in this time because he's been through most of the phases. He's been called names for what we were, when we were, what we were.
Okay, yeah, I've been three of them. I think you might have been four.
I was Negro. I was, of course, been black, been African American, been Afro American.
Okay.
We're always going to be niggas. I'm sorry.
Right. I was going to say, yeah, that's the word I was counting as one of your four. I've been black, Afro American, and African American.
You were never Negro?
No, I was never Negro.
Wow.
I was born after the revolution was televised. I know that you were born in the late 40s, early 50s, but I was born born after 1969. I'll just leave it at that.
I have to remind you, my mother does listen to this show, so when she heard that, she will be coming to get you. She asked, so you know. Okay, so we've established that the racism in this country towards Michelle and Barack are just way out of control. I will add that Glenn Beck did go after the girls, and everyone knows who knows me well.
Oh, I forgot about that.
They have to get bail money ready for when I meet up with Mr. Beck because it's going to be a straight whoop down.
Well, you know, he's from here. He's from north of Seattle in Mount Vernon. That's about, I think, 40 miles north of Seattle. So, you know, when he's in town.
Holler at a brother.
I'll holler at a brother. Or you might have to sell bail money for me. Because, you know, I'm too pretty to go to prison.
No, I think they'd like you up in jail.
Mm-mm, I'm too pretty.
There's some pretty girls up in prison. How do you think I met my last ex-wife?
I'll tell you what. I will be somebody's girlfriend. Ain't no shame in that statement.
And you will sleep in a bucket. So
and teach magic.
So to segue from that, Eric Holder.
That mess.
Why are they going after Eric Holder? Why are they going after an effective attorney general? Well, you know what? Attorney generals have been under fire since Democratic attorney generals have been under fire as far back as I can remember since Bill Clinton appointed Janet. Was it Janet Reno?
Janet Reno. How about Robert Kennedy?
Well, Robert Kennedy. Robert Kennedy ran stuff and was allowed to run stuff in a way. His brother was the president, but in a way that I haven't seen most attorneys general have had the power since.
Well, the fact that he took a bullet to the head means that he was getting a little bit out of control as far as some people were concerned.
Yes, but that was well after he was finished being attorney general, and he was now running for Democratic nomination as president of the United States.
Right, but I think it was some fallout from the policies he set forth as attorney general and sending the National Guard down to Tennessee, was it?
Well, we have to ask Sirhan, who actually paid him to kill.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, he was getting all kinds of flack for his policies on civil rights.
He wasn't popular, but he was not called down in front of people with the same sort of anger that in vitriol that the Republicans are going after Eric Holder.
That's true. And you know what? Can't he tell them to kiss his black behind? I'm not coming down there. I got more important things to do than sit in front of you and answer some stupid questions about stuff I can't give you the answer to because it's illegal for me to do so. So can I please go back to doing what I was doing? Thank you very much.
Trying to protect y'all stupid behinds and the Constitution of this United States of America.
Right. Don't you think I have more important things to do than come down here every 5 days and answer your stupid questions?
But I also want to say I really want to see him start going after some of these Wall Street big boys again, more so than he has. I'll see some people go to jail. I want to see
I agree.
Some jail.
I agree. You know, maybe he would have the opportunity to do that if Daryl Issa wasn't calling him down on Capitol Hill every 5 minutes.
Right, right.
But you know what? Maybe that's why they're doing it. Maybe they don't want him to do stuff like that, to go after the money. Maybe they're trying to keep him so busy with foolishness so he can't do what he's supposed to do.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Keep him off guard. Keep him unbalanced so that he can't focus on what really needs to be focused on in this country.
Yep, scrutinize everything he does. And find fault in it, and then call him before Congress, before some committee, so he can't do what he's supposed to do.
Out of control.
And, you know, look how they're – and some of this stuff has ramped up since he started deciding that he was going to go after these people who are trying to disenfranchise voters.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought that up. Good segue. Oh, high five yourself.
I shall.
Wait till we get off the air, because you know how you get excited about doing that. As you know, here in Baltimore, for our local listeners, we had a little bit of an incident, a little bit of a trial here. You know, it's amazing the Republican strategy of setting up all of these laws like they're doing in Florida and trying to set these policies to combat voter fraud that is not happening, but they're ignoring that the fact that across this nation, voter suppression is being carried out by the right at an alarming rate. I mean, seriously, an alarming rate. And after 2004, I think we all, actually, 2000, I think we were all more sensitized to the fact that a lot of the tricks that were used in the 50s and 40s and 30s and after Reconstruction, after the Civil War, and through the 60s are still being used today.
And the Southern strategy.
Yes, and, you know, poll taxes and Jim Crow laws. But here in Maryland in 2010, during the gubernatorial election, African-American voters in Baltimore City and Prince George's County, which is outside of Washington, D.C., it surrounds Washington, D.C., were getting robocalls before the polls closed saying there's no need to go out and vote. The election has been won by the Democratic candidate, which is Martin O'Malley, who's now the governor of Maryland. So go. No need to go to vote. Stay home. No need to go to polls. Stay home. And people recorded these calls. An investigation was launched, and it was discovered that these calls were the work and idea of the campaign manager for the Republican gubernatorial candidate, who was at the time the incumbent governor of Maryland. And his campaign manager was put on trial and found guilty, but fined a minimal amount of fine and no jail time. The person he hired to write the script and to make sure that the calls went out, the company he hired was a company founded and owned by a gentleman named Julius Ensign, a black man, who, for whatever reason, took the money and did this heinous act. And Julius Henson's trial just ended last week, and he was found guilty. He was sentenced to 6 months in jail, actually a year or 6 months, 6 months or 60 days, I need to dig into this, suspended, all but 6 months or 60 days suspended, and fined $1 million. Now, this is the man who wrote the script and made sure the calls went out. This is not the man who came up with the idea, who financed the idea, who was working directly for the governor of the state of Maryland. He also did not get any support, whereas the campaign manager for then Governor Ehrlich had former Governor Ehrlich come to be a character witness for him during the trial. Julius Henson had no such support. But Julius Henson was convicted of the lesser of all charges and is the only one that's serving any jail time.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, what's the difference between Julius and the guy who hired him, the campaign manager? What's the difference between the two of them?
Campaign manager worked directly for the governor of Maryland in his campaign.
No. Well, but...
Oh,
what's
the difference between them?
What's the difference between them?
One's age. There's a little difference in their age. One is, I think the campaign manager is like 53 or 52, and Julius Henson is black. So...
yes, that's exactly what I was getting at. One is 6'2", and the other is black.
Right. So it makes me wonder. I mean, these things happen all the time. We've seen it in this country over the last 4 or 5 years, more so actually, where you have these quick to jump to the defense of the Republican Party black people who, when stuff hits the fan, are left on their own, and they have to sink or swim, and a lot of times they sink. Look at Michael Steele's stupid behind. And yes, Michael Steele, if you ever hear this, was Lieutenant Governor of Maryland to then Governor Ehrlich, left that post to become a leader of the Republican Party, and then eventually be elected to the head of the RNC, made the comment to national media, what's the difference between he and Barack Obama? So what, he's president of the United States. I am the head of the RNC. Child, please.
There's no difference there.
No, I mean, child, please. But as soon as he got in office, the old guard went after him, and he wasn't allowed to do anything except always defend himself and what he was doing when they had an excellent opportunity to not disenfranchise black people and probably draw some of them into their already small tent. And he was marginalized and eventually forced out.
Yeah, but you know what? I think at least half of that was his own doing. He was ill-equipped
yes.
for any position, let alone that position. And the only reason he got that position is because the Republican Party wanted some black up. They wanted somebody to compete with Barack Obama without actually having to run for anything. That's why Herman Cain went as far as he did, even though it wasn't that far. He shouldn't have even got out the gate as far as I was concerned. But the Republican Party is always looking for somebody black to go to counter Barack Obama. That's why they keep promoting up that idiot in Florida, Alan West.
I actually saw an interview last night with someone who tried to compare the things that are said about Alan West to the things that are being done to President Obama.
No, they did not.
And it was actually on the Ed Show. Ed Medved. And
Michael Medved?
Michael Medved. You know how
good
I am.
Yeah, he's from here. You know he and I have had run-ins, right? Another show.
Well, we'll talk about it. But it's as legitimate a claim as Michael Steele saying he was president of RNC, so he was on the same level with Barack Obama being president of the United States. Alan West is borderline insane.
Yes,
and having
he is.
Recently dealt with some insanity in my own life, I can see it when I see when I know it when I see it. And Alan West is insane, saying that there are communists in Congress.
Supporting his campaign manager who was talking about Second Amendment remedies.
Yeah.
You know, the way he snaps on Debbie Wasserman Schultz drives him absolutely crazy. He is insanely crazy when it comes to her. She just pushes all his buttons. You know, he's a sexist among many, many other things.
But many other things.
But, I mean, it's just ridiculous, the stuff that comes out of his mouth. And every single time it comes out of his mouth, his campaign donations go up.
Well, I mean, do we call him insane or do we call him a smart politician?
I call him all stupid.
I mean, because it is putting more money in his coffers for what, I don't know. I don't know where he's going to end up going. Maybe he'll
I think the district is going to go back to Alan Grayson. Knock on wood. The Republicans want you to die. That Alan Grayson.
Yes. I remember Alan Grayson. He should be a hero of the Democratic Party and elevated up and past being a representative from Florida. He should become a leader in the party down the line.
But you know what? That's a perfect example of what was wrong with 2010. I mean, yes, Grayson was far left of the left. You know, he's very, very, very progressive, and he did say some controversial things. But look what they exchanged him for.
Right. Well, everything in that part of Florida must be a little bit off kilter, or maybe just the whole state of Florida is a little bit off kilter.
Well, you know what my little favorite Bugs Bunny cartoon is? Him sawing Florida off of the continental U.S.
I thought it was him dressed up in drag trying to get the Tasmanian devil.
No, it's him just chopping Florida off. And he did that in the 50s. Florida's been wrong for a long time.
Can I just say, in the interest of full disclosure, yeah, Bugs was kind of hot in that outfit. So all you ladies listed in, you would have put on some fishnets, I mean, some black stockings with a seam up the back and some open toe pumps and a tight skirt. Give me a call.
The Ooh. Fact that you remember that, that
yeah,
detail, is next level.
I was a lonely little boy. I was a very lonely little boy.
Bless your little heart.
You know, and on to Florida,
yes,
as we mentioned last week. George Zimmerman, not Andrew Zimmerman, George Zimmerman and his wife are the tapes are now have now been released of their.
Collusion.
I'm using the quote for his audience. Their coded conversations about the money that they had that they were claiming they did not have.
Surprise!
I'm just trying to figure out, again, how this man has survived as long as he has. This code of using tape.
Wait, do you mean survived in prison or just survived in life?
Period. Code for taking $10,000 out of one account. Out of the account they raised online to their bank account was take 10 and put it in that drawer.
God, you know, I think
kind of devious.
The vein in the back of my neck is just pounding. I think I'm having a stroke.
I mean,
is my speech slurring? Because my eye is twitching.
Code breakers beware. I must have taken the Florida Department of Bureau of Investigation.
They needed the wind talkers from the World War II to figure that out. If there's anybody left who saw the Enigma, they need to get the Florida post haste.
I wonder what kind of algorithm they used. Did they bring in Trinity from the Matrix?
No, this is some Orpheus stuff. They needed the big guns.
Take 10 out of that drawer and put it in her drawer.
Oh my God.
And then
Deliver
the prosecution
me.
Had to go before the judge, who was oblivious to the fact that this man obviously had money because his father was a former judge and still still sitting judge.
But, I mean, here's
Yet incredulous.
The deal. How could they? I mean, why was this even a question? I mean, you and I talked about it
mm-hmm.
when all this stuff went down about that account. You know, when he opened up the account. And when the lawyer, we talked about it on the show, when the lawyer was tap dancing around it. I mean, this just proves how stupid George Zimmerman thinks the Florida law enforcement are.
And he was right for a long time. Because by the time they had their code crackers cracked... They must have had a secret decoder ring from a box of Cracker Jacks. We have hard evidence.
He said
10 means 10,000.
Oh, see, here I thought it meant $10. I was a little confused.
So wait a minute. Does that mean a drawer could be a bank account? No one looked at the man's bank accounts. I mean, okay.
See, and I thought he was talking about his underwear when he said drawers, but that's just me. Because, you know, I'm a little slow.
You're gonna
I mean,
run
really,
for
come
office.
On. Seriously.
You're
going to
run for office in Florida and win.
Right against Alan West.
And you got to think,
control.
Served under Alan West in the Army, you're now thinking, if we ever had to do combat with this one.
Well, you know, he has a higher security clearance than the president.
From a military standpoint, he may have had a higher security clearance than citizen Barack Obama or Congressman Barack Obama. You don't have no higher security clearance than POTUS. There's no such animal.
Right, but he didn't clarify that statement. He didn't say before PBO was in office, I had a higher security clearance. He said this ish in 2010.
I can guarantee you whatever clearance he had, some...
It's getting revoked.
There's a whole lot of redaction coming down on anything he looks at now.
You know, shoot, that's why I can't run for office, because the IRS would be paying him a visit. That's why my husband can't run for office, because I am not
that,
Michelle.
And that picture be laying in a bucket with a goat.
Right? I am not Michelle by any stretch of imagination. I will take my high heels off and go busting into Eric Holder's office and be like, look, that little crazy Negro down in Florida, I want you to do something about him yesterday. I don't know. You know what? Have the IRS check him out, see if you can find some pictures of him with a goat in a bathtub. He got any outside children? I want them found.
I need some answers. Questioned and some questions answered.
That's right.
I need you to take N out of that drawer and put it in his drawer.
See, you have to stop repeating that, because the back of my head throbs every single time you say it.
Well, my hands are getting cramped because every time I do it, I have to do little finger quotes.
You're making my blood, you're making my sugar go up.
Yeah,
my pressure go down.
It's the crazy world we live in. It ain't my world. I'm just trying to survive in it.
So what are they gonna do? Did they freeze the accounts, like under some type of RICO law or something like that?
I don't think they froze the accounts yet. They're probably trying to figure out where they are. I mean, it took them 3 months to figure out what 10 in this.
I can tell you where it's at. The First Bank of Florida next. They're not smart enough to have it at any other place but the First Credit Union Bank of Florida.
And it's probably under,
or
it's probably under
Fargo.
The name of Jorge Himmerman.
Right. And Chelly. Chelly Himmerman. You see, you're going
to
stop trying to take
hidden.
Me to hell.
It's well hidden from the public.
Well hidden. In one of those Swiss Florida bank accounts.
the grand bank of the Cayman Street. The Cayman Street Bank of Florida. I tell you. The machinations of a sick mind. The machinations of a sick mind. So, okay, Kamal, who's your pick to be Mitt Romney's vice presidential candidate? Vice presidential running mate.
I don't know. I mean, my gut is kind of leaning towards what's his name? The governor of Indiana.
Okay.
What's his name? Is it Mitchell?
It's not even really important, but yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the governor of Indiana or Portman out of Ohio. I don't think it's going to be Rubio, and I think because Rubio's too much of a wild card by Republican standards, because he can't keep his story straight. I don't think it's going to be...
That line up exactly with Mitt Romney's policies?
Yes. However, I think that when Mitt Romney wants him to zig, he will zag.
But he will zag because Mitt will zag eventually.
Yes. But Mitt wants to be the one to zag first. And then he wants to be followed with the zagging. But, yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of speculation on Rubio, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the pick, but I don't think he will be. I really think that they're looking at old white men, Portman and I keep on calling. Maybe his name is Mitch Daniel. I think that's what it is. Mitch Daniels, not Dan Mitchell's.
Dan Mitchell has an account with $10 in it in a drawer.
Right, in the Swiss Bank of Florida.
So you're pulling for Mitch Daniels.
Yeah.
How about
Mitch Daniels or Portman?
How about Pulenti? Let's bring Pulenti. Let's prop Pulenti up.
Yeah, I think Pulenti is. I think from a Democratic standpoint, that would be a win because he's pretty moderate comparatively. But I think he'd be too moderate for what the team of Mitt Romney wants.
Well, we do understand that it's not important to the powers that be in the Republican Party who the VP is. Their whole stake is in the president. You know, they figured out after 2008 that the office of VP or the running mate for the president was only to draw people but not for governing.
Right. And the only reason to pick Rubio would to bring in the Latino vote, which they're
right.
not going to really
he's
get anyway.
Not, and if they do that, if they go there, it would show again that they don't understand the disparity between the diversity of the entire Hispanic community across this country. Rubio would be great for maybe some Cuban Americans in the Florida area and maybe up the eastern seaboard. But when it comes to the Mexican Americans in this country, the Salvadorian Americans in this country, the Puerto Rican Americans in this country, they could give a rat's patoot about a Rubio being on the ticket.
Yes, I agree.
But that
another reason to think about Mitch Daniel is these hardline policies he's been pulling in Indiana are right in line with the Tea Party. So that would be a reason to court him because they want that stupid Tea Party vote, which is a little more significant than Hispanic vote.
In terms of
numbers.
Right. In their eyes, exactly right. Exactly right. I wish them well, but I'm
right.
I think I'm gonna put my eggs in the Rubio bucket. Of course, Christie is not off the
the
radar.
What,
neither
though?
Is Orion.
But you know what though, Chris Christie is a bully, and Mitt Romney is going to be the one to want to be the only alpha male.
Good point. But Chris Christie also knows.
Are you calling him Chris Crispy like Krispy Kreme? Are you saying Christy? Are you saying Crispy or Christy?
Maybe I should just start calling him.
Cream.
Him Governor Michelin Tire Man.
See, now that makes us no better than people talking about Hillary's cankles. We have to rise above.
Oh, so we can't discriminate against fat people now?
No, not while I still have 10 pounds to lose.
Okay, well, I found them, so I don't know what you did with them, but I found your thing. And I'm
carrying
it. Well,
I cut my hair and hoped that would work, but it didn't.
Mm. Did you let your daughters do your hair for you?
Hate you. But okay, back on topic, because we can get off topic very easily. I just don't think Chris Christie is the man. I think he's too bullish. I really think that. I think he's loud. I think he's a loud mouth bore is what I think. B-O-O-R. He'll say what he wants to, not unlike Biden. But I think Chris Christie loses his temper too easily. He just doesn't quite have, I think, the temperament, pardon me, to be vice president under Mitt Romney. He's going to challenge him at every term.
And
well,
we
look at it this way. To your point, though Joe Biden goes off script and says some things that makes a lot of people cringe, his credentials in foreign policy in the Middle East are beyond reproach.
Above reproach.
So he has some cachet there, and he has some credibility there. Right now, no one being bandied about, none of these names that we've been bandying about and that the mainstream media is bandying about, have any sort of credentials in foreign policy. And though even Mitt Romney is now trying to stick his toe into the foreign policy issue, he has no foreign policy background or backing.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have anybody that can actually help the party, actually help the candidacy, can actually bring anything to the table. I don't think they think it matters. I don't think they care that it doesn't matters. They're looking for popularity. I think, you know, the Sarah Palin experiment, which would be a great name for a group now that I think about it, a rock group.
well,
but
I mean, it depends on whose vote they're courting. I mean, if they want to make up for all the damage they've done with their anti-woman policies, then Kelly Ayotte is the one to go for. If they want to try and get inroads with the Latino population, which you and I have both stated is not the segment, Rubio does not appeal to the segment they're trying to reach, they'll go for him nonetheless. I think if they want to go for somebody extremely conservative, they'll go for Mitch Daniels, I forgot about the attorney general over in Virginia who's acting stupid and was kind of circling the carcasses for a while on whether he was going to be picked. I think smart money might be Thune. He's conservative but not too conservative. He has experience. That's about all I can say about him.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. But my point is and has been it's more about popularity now. I'm going to say the Obama team in 2008 did a very smart thing in bringing in Joe Biden because he solidified and brought credibility to the campaign with his foreign policy experience.
Yes, I agree.
And I think he's been – and I initially did not support that decision, that nomination. But I think – he's been a good sounding board and a good vice president for Barack Obama in foreign policy and national policy as well. I think the way he balanced out some of the concerns of the old guard on the left helped Barack Obama in winning over the people outside of the voters who really matter in
mm-hmm.
the party. And I think Barack Obama has stood on his own in his foreign policy stance. I mean, I always try to call it like I see it. I think Barack Obama has been more successful, maybe not. I mean, he's been more successful, if not more diligent, but definitely more successful in his foreign policies than his domestic policies, because a lot of what he's been able to do foreign policy-wise, he hasn't had to try to get Congress to approve. But they can't touch him on foreign policy.
No,
nothing
they can't. They can't touch him on foreign policy. They try and try and try, and they can't. You know, they tried that mess when Medvedev was leaving office and wanted to talk about something and
President Obama was like, it's not really advantageous to talk about that right now. You know, they tried to get him on that. Nope. He put up his Wonder Woman bullet shields, wrist shields. Ding, ding, ding.
I somehow see Barack Obama more for Captain America shield than Wonder Woman bulletproof bracelets. Just call me crazy. Though I'm sure a lot of gay, lesbian, transgenders would love to see him in some in Wonder Woman outfit.
Okay, but see, you know, I made myself drool when I said ting ting ting.
I know you did. And for those listening, we just have to be very thankful that tonight Kamal is doing the show for the first time without her plastic helmet on.
I didn't have my nap today.
Did you have your red Kool-Aid?
No, I didn't have my Kool-Aid and I didn't have my nap.
Did you all have that in California? Did you all have, like, red Kool-Aid, grape Kool-Aid, and orange Kool-Aid?
The silence you hear is like, really? Of course we had Kool-Aid.
No, but did you have the flavor orange, the flavor grape, and the flavor red?
No, yeah, we had brown and green and
because
black.
You know red is a flavor in the black community.
I know what it
is. There are a lot of people listening who don't understand it, but you know, you're out there in Seattle. You're in Seattle now. You're not here with
right.
With
Kool-Aid is everywhere but Seattle. But I was raised in California. Yeah, we had Kool-Aid. We had red Kool-Aid, orange, and grape.
Had a discussion Sunday for Father's Day, gathering at my dad's house about mixing the flavors of Kool-Aid to come up with your own flavor.
See, we had it, but my mother didn't allow us to drink too much of it because we were crazy anyway and out of control.
Mm.
So she didn't want us on a sugar high. And so what she used to do, what she first started off doing, was she would give us Kool-Aid, but just with half of the required amount of sugar, which made our eyes squint and our lips suck in. So we started to boycott her Kool-Aid. And then after that, my mother just used to make us drink just juice and water. I was deprived.
We used to mix the flavors. And then we became very indignant when Kool-Aid started mixing the flavors themselves. Like, how are you going to? It was my idea to put lemonade with grape. I was the first one to come up with grape aid. They didn't. Now they're going to come with it and take money out of my children's mouth.
So, look, the fact that I remember my mother gave us half the sugar made me remember Halloween. One year, my mother passed out walnuts and toothpaste and toothbrushes.
What did your house look like the next day?
What did I look like the next day?
Your house looked like the next day.
No, what did I look like the next day? I was so mad. I told my mother, because everybody's like, don't go to my house, and people walk past me and hit me with their bags of candy. Your mama gave us walnuts. I was like, damn. I was so mad at my mother. I was like, don't you ever, ever, ever give out toothpaste and toothbrushes and walnuts again. See, here's what her thinking was. One, she forgot to go buy candy. Number one. Number two, she always had walnuts. And she said, well, you know, and what she was going to do is give out candy and toothbrushes. But so she gave out the walnuts because that's what she had at the house. And she was thinking, well, you know, the kids eat so much candy, I just don't want them to get cavities. But I tell you what, we had plenty of candy for the next 4 years running because nobody was coming to the house.
I'm surprised you weren't forced to move out of the neighborhood.
I told you I got beat up. Every time I turn around, somebody was swinging a pillowcase full of candy at my head over behind my mama.
I see your candy issue has gotten the phone lines lit up. We have a caller from the 301 area code. I'm going to bring this caller in. Caller from 301, do you have anything to say?
Their mama must have given them too much candy.
I think this is maybe one of our mystery, I don't have anything to say callers. Call us through 674 Exchange. Do you have anything to say? Okay, I'm going to move on. Yeah, no. My mother was very good about having candy in the house for Halloween. You did. I think, even though I joke about how she let me do dangerous things as a child, my mother didn't want me jacked up on the streets.
Yeah, obviously my mother didn't care. And here's how she redeemed herself. So the next year she got candy. She got that nasty Brock's and Tootsie Rolls. Didn't nobody want Brock's and Tootsie Rolls? They wanted Snickers and Hershey's. And my mother, please, I'm getting mad all over again.
I think the root of a lot of your issues have now come to surface.
Because my mother got me beat up over Halloween candy. And you know what? Now that I think about it, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to go into therapy because one year she gave out pennies.
Oh, you know, we weren't mad with the woman who gave out pennies as long as she put them in groups of 10. When times got hard and we got 5 pennies, it was like, you know, this.
I can neither confirm nor deny it was 1 penny. I can't do it.
I'm just saying.
We love my mama. She has since learned, now that she has grandbabies, you know, she's got the right mix. Well, you know what? It's not that she has grandbabies. It's that now that I have kids, because I go buy the candy and take it over to her house to make sure she's on point. She's not going to have my babies beat up for handing out peanuts.
And they will take a whooping for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame.
With a pillowcase full. That's where I get socked full of quarters. I used to get beat with a pillowcase full of candy. Okay,
once again,
we should probably get back.
Way off topic.
Right, we should probably get back to politics. Go ahead.
Okay, so the Republicans are rightfully upset that during this campaign season, this election campaign season for office of president, Barack Obama had the nerve. The unmitigated noive to pull a political move. And first of all, endorse gay marriage. How dare him? How dare him?
How dare him?
But to say that children who came to this country illegally and have gotten educations and become productive members of society and have military background and all cannot be deported. They're rightfully upset about this because this move was just unfair. How dare him? Shenanigans. He's trying to win. What is his problem? Why in this time of political strife is Barack Obama doing these things to garner votes?
What do you mean that we can't send somebody back to Mexico who's been in the United States since they were 2? What do you mean we can't do that?
Well, I mean, it's obviously all about votes, Kamal. It's all about votes, and I just think he shouldn't be trying to get votes.
God forbid.
Why would he want to try to get votes?
God forbid somebody trying to win a presidential election actually wants votes. I mean, what's this world coming to?
What's the world coming to? He should just run on his economic record and not this foreign policy stuff he does with killing terrorists and killing Osama bin Laden and trying to make the high seas off the Cape of Africa safe for commercial sailing. and
they don't even want him to do that. They want him to run on his treadmill. That's the only running they want him to do.
No, they want him to run from the police. That's all they want him to do. To run out of Washington, D.C. and stop being popular.
Back to Kenya.
How dare him. I mean, the worst they can do is accuse him. Oh, my God. Remember last week he was out of touch because he said the public sector is doing fine?
Oh, yes, that's right.
In the
That's
10,
right.
In the 3 years he's been president of this country, he made one
4.4 million jobs.
Yeah, but he made one goofaw, and they're all on it, and rightfully so to some extent. But to have Mitt Romney call the man out of touch is like you saying I'm too short to be in the NBA. I mean it's. You're shorter than me. You're more out of touch than I am. How are you going to call the kettle black?
Well, not only that, though, I have boobs. I don't think I'm supposed to be in the NBA.
I'm over 50. I now have boobs, too.
You have moobs. I'm sorry.
Don't judge me.
Back to your point. I apologize for taking us off the rails again.
But it just shows to me the extent of the idiocy, the extreme craziness that they do today. Be upset that the man is doing things to not only try to govern the country, but to garner votes so he can be reelected.
Scandalous.
This whole Dobbs bill issue is just an attempt to get support from the American people for his agenda. Really?
Right, but I mean, and you and I talked about it. Okay, so the immigration issue is a blatant political move. And?
Right.
I'm trying to find my outrage, but I can't.
He just holds a slim 66 percentage point lead over Mitt Romney in the Hispanic community.
And so, that's not enough?
Obviously, he's trying to hedge his there.
He wants scorched earth policy? He wants
99%. I'm glad you said that. Let me just say this on our air, that if we as a people get out and look at the overall issues of everything going on in this country, if we as intelligent thinking people, not just blacks, not just whites, not just Hispanics or Asians or whatever demographic silo we all fit in or silos we all fit in, if we as right thinking, forward thinking people get together and look at the issues from an important and realistic standpoint, it should be a scorched earth policy wiping out of Mitt Romney in November.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to get out and vote. I don't care which side of the aisle you come down, or the issue side of the issue you come down on, as far as same-sex marriage, as in immigration, or religious institutions having to offer health care to their employees. If you look at it from the overall standpoint, we're talking about a man who is president of this country and has done nothing since the beginning but try to do good for every American citizen.
Right, because he is the president of what?
The entire United States of America.
And not
Black America, gay America, Hispanic America, Europe, Africa, Kenya. He is the president of the United States. Here's a man who, yes, he's had to learn on the job. All of them have. Nobody becomes president with all the experience necessary to be president, even if they serve 4 to 8 years as vice president. Thank you, George Herbert Walker Bush. you learn on the job. But he has done what he's done to serve the entire nation, as opposed to a man who wants to run and become president because he wants to become president to prove what? I don't know Mitt Romney's motivation, and it certainly is not to serve every American citizen.
Yeah, it's to serve the 1%. It's to serve all his golf club buddies and executive washroom sharers.
And everything he says, everything about every speech he makes, every public appearance he makes, he's making it clear he's not about governing the United States of America from shore to shore, from sea to sea. He's about doing...
Or sea to shining sea.
In shining sea. And the Bering Sea. But he's about what's doing right for his base. Does he think he can create more jobs than Barack Obama?
He thinks he can, because remember, he thinks that by laying people off and trimming the fat, he's actually creating jobs, because once you lay off people who are at the higher echelon of the pay scale, you can come bring people in at slave wages. So that's what he's thinking.
Right. But the bottom line in that is it's good for the businesses. It's not good for the employers. I mean, employees.
No, not at all.
His lack of experience or even understanding of foreign policy issues, of governing issues, not just from a standpoint of job creation, which, yeah, I would like there to be more jobs. But let me just say this. It's an interesting time we live in when Republican talking points are, we're moving too slow to make progress. We're being too conservative. The Democrats are moving too slow. We can do things better and faster. It's an interesting day when the conservative party is trying to be more aggressive. As a young kid, I understood the difference between the Democrats and Republicans as being the Republicans took a more conservative, slow, overall approach to trying to solve problems in this country. And
see, now, I had a different outlook. I understood the Republicans as the people who made me have to bring my own crayons to school, and we had to go from 2-ply toilet paper to 1-ply toilet paper at school.
So you grew up when ketchup was a vegetable when you were in school?
Yes, ketchup was a vegetable, absolutely.
Conservative,
yep.
Slow and steady, stay the course, no need for quick fixes, because quick fixes aren't best for the overall outlook. And now we have a president who's a Democrat who's pushing those policies, and they're fighting against him because he's too young, too inexperienced,
too black,
new to politics.
Too black. I'm black, y'all. I'm black, y'all. I'm bliggity bliggity black, y'all.
And that's what it comes down to. And I think the overall theme of tonight's show is just that. It's just that. They have swallowed their own young. They have turned and bitten their own tail, because they can't stand the fact that this black man has won the office and is doing things in the office and is trying to make things better in the office. So they have switched their whole DNA.
I would say they've lost their damn minds is what I would say. That's how I would phrase it. But you can say how you want to say it.
But you said it best. That's exactly what it is. And it's funny to me, because I try to look at things from a different angle. It's funny to me how their talking points last week were, we don't think he'll do as well this term with the same young voters he did well with 4 years ago. And by definition, he can't, because those same young voters 4 years ago are now older, and there's a new group of young voters coming in that will be energized by this man, be energized by what he stands for, be energized by what he's done, be energized by the hope of what is coming down the line, and be energized by the fact that if he gets four more years and they get some of these knuckleheads who are already in office out of office, things will be better for everybody. And it's incredulous to me that even the 1% have to admit things are better for them today than they were under George Bush.
Things are better for them than they were under a lot of presidents, because wasn't it during Eisenhower's administration where they were taxed at like 70%?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, really, and so what you're currently taxed at is too much? Why don't we just go back to 70 and so I can really hear you bitch and complain?
Why don't we just go back to more regulations? And yet, yeah, Ronald Reagan deregulated everything and got rid of a lot of policies to help the people who are now pretty much the core of the Tea Party. And this man is trying to help them get back to a status level of at least stability. But because he's too young, too new in politics, too
biggity back.
Back. They don't want him. They don't want him. They refuse to even intelligently debate the things he's trying to do, as opposed to the policies that they think they have in place. Which, oh my gosh, that should be a good topic for next week. What will the debates start looking like? What will be the framework of these debates?
I can tell you what is going to be a lot of lying. You know, that's what I really wish they would do at these debates. I mean, in all seriousness, they know what questions they're going to ask. Go ahead and ask them. And when Mitt Romney says, well, I never said that, well, we could say, roll tape. And then on the big screen, show him saying what he just said he didn't say.
Wait, that'd be great. Let's have a buzzer system. Who can anyone have any connections with the major networks? Call me. We need to develop a program. Reach me at 410-929-4562, the Nightlifer. Number again is 410-929-4562. We need to develop, in the debates coming up, a way that there can be a buzzer system to call shenanigans on anything either Barack Obama says or Mitt Romney says. True, Barack Obama's buzzer will probably not get as used out as much as Mitt Romney's buzzer.
Well, why don't we just drink tequila?
No, because no, you can't have, we can do that in parties. We can't do that on national television where we're trying to understand what's going on. I want it, you push the button and a big screen lights up with video of where whatever the candidate is saying today is different than what the candidate said during the campaign or 4 years ago or 2 years ago or last year.
Well,
I think
can
that
we
would
just,
be great.
Can we just drink tequila here?
Right. I'm saying we can do it at our own party.
Okay. Because I just feel the need to be drunk.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, if we can work things out, we can get you here in November. I can have tequila here for you.
All right. There we go.
I'm looking forward to getting you in front of some tequila and seeing if you can drink the worm.
I quit. And you know why I quit?
I know exactly why you quit. Go sleep in your bucket.
I'm not teaching you no magic.
Listen, NBA finals are going on. I'm not a big NBA fan. I'm looking forward to the NFL season starting. The Miami Heat is playing tonight, so I know a lot of our listeners are listening after the game, so I don't know who's going to win, not that I care. But I brought that up to say a lot of the reason people hate or upset with LeBron James is a lot of the same things I've been hearing about what the issues are with Barack Obama. The arrogance of excellence. LeBron James had the nerve to choose the team he wanted to go play for and bring his skills to South Beach. Barack Obama had the nerve to say he wanted to be president and bring his intelligence to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. There are people in this nation who want LeBron James to never win because he has the arrogance of his own excellence and abilities to try to do what he wants to do. And Barack Obama's in that same boat. I just had to say that. I don't know where it went, but I just had to say that.
Who's LeBron James?
He's young. He's new to the game.
Doesn't
what have
game?
The experience. And he's black. So,
are you talking about football? I thought football didn't start for another couple of months.
You only think that because you live in Seattle and your football team plays like a bunch of basketball players.
No, we ain't got no basketball team. Don't even get me started. We
ain't got no football team either.
Well, I have to live in this city, so I'm not going to mention that I'm a Raider fan anyway. But, no, we do not have a basketball team. Even when we had a basketball team, we kind of really didn't have a basketball team.
You did when Sean Kemp was playing for the basketball team, and he was.
Well, that's because he had 9 of his kids on the team with him.
Right. He was dunking in a lot of holes, if I remember correctly.
he had his whole clan on 1911 kids with him.
I have to do this. The last 2 minutes of the show, take 90 quick seconds and say goodbye to one of my best friends. As you all know, regular listeners of the show know that my friend Delmonica Hines is fighting cancer, and God called her home last Monday. And it was with a heavy heart we did last Tuesday show. Her services were this past Saturday, and I'm still having a difficult time letting go. But I know her soul's at rest, and I'm going to miss her for the rest of my days. My heart and love go out to her family and the community of friends and the outpouring of love that was shown for her at her services. And I'm dedicating everything I do nightlifer-wise from now on to Cabal. You have become a very good friend to me. Del and I had 19 years of friendship. I'm looking forward to having at least that much time as your friend as well. But
you keep it up, you won't.
I'm sorry, did I wake you up out your bucket?
See? I quit you.
In the words of your favorite person, Ahmed the dead terrorist. So, until next week, same bad time, same bad channel. Blog Talk Radio. Kamal, you and I will try to keep it down.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. See you next week.